started. I'm just have you both say your names here. Whoever wants to go first.
Darcy Katie.
And can you spell that for me?
D-A-R-C-I-E. Last name C-A-D-Y.
Darcy Katie.
Kristen, K-R-I-S-T-E-N, Meyercord, M-E-I-E-R-K-O-R-D.
Alrighty, so just to start off, I mean, tell me a little bit about what you're doing here. How did this all get started?
It got started from the Alexis Camry Scott campaign. We're members of that. And Susan O'Neill, she had posted something about the Red Dress Project that honors the murdered and missing indigenous women of North America. And a few of us said, we need to do this here and honor the murder and missing in Peoria. And that's basically where it took off from.
Okay. So when you got started with this, I mean, you've got a lot of documents here going all the way back to 1999. So how did you, once you've decided that this is a project we're on to pursue, how did you get started in, you know, collecting all of this research, I guess?
We sent out FOIA requests to the coroner's office, PPD, the sheriff's office, and brought Darcy on board because she is great for researching. So she spent lots of time at the library, went through a lot of articles, a lot of data. She could probably explain that better.
So we started gathering data. A lot of it was in conjunction with PJ Star articles because things weren't always able to be easily gathered, or there was just too much information simply being requested. So a lot of times we had to do our own independent research to verify different details because we wanted to have it be as accurate as possible, not only with the year of either their passing or them going missing, but also to have the most accurate dress as possible to show their individuality. So something that might be more fitting for someone who was 20 versus someone who was 50, something that might fit that aesthetic to give it a more personal feel.
So as you're going through all these years of newspaper articles, I mean, what stuck out to you about these articles, or was there anything, you know, that came to you that was like, wow, I didn't realize this, or there's a common thread, anything like that?
Absolutely. A common overarching theme was featured in a lot of these articles was that the families didn't always feel that they were having their loved ones being treated with the utmost respect and urgency as far as pursuing the cases and then how the cases were handled. That was just something that kept being this reoccurring theme. And unfortunately, having been involved with the Alexis Camry Scott campaign for so long, that is something I've unfortunately seen firsthand with what the families encountered, with what the movements encountered as far as gaining support, because it's very hard to gain support when the people who are supposed to be supporting you through either local government or local agencies are not doing that. So thankfully we've had a lot of individual support from, I'd say, various officers or detectives. It's been very specific, and then that was something that I saw mirrored in my research, was oftentimes it was specific individuals doing their part, but getting that collective whole was a challenge.
Okay. And then just kind of, you obviously encounter a lot of names of a lot of family members and loved ones throughout this process. I mean, have any of them been involved with this? Have you reached out to any of them?
Yes, we have April Scott. She is Alexis Scott's mother, and she will be speaking the day of the event. Darcy and Nia, who is Nia McFarland Dry, they are doing reaching out to as many family members as possible. And then Susan O'Neill, who is another co-founder of the event, she is a civil rights attorney and worked many years here in Peoria. She has unfortunately witnessed a lot of these cases and knew a lot of the women that were involved in these.
So, actually, gathering the actual dresses, I mean, can you tell me a little bit about how you've actually gone about doing that and how you're going to, you know, display them or...
We cleaned out our closets. we also put out information on social media as well as news outlets that we were looking for donations. I don't think any of us in a million years dreamed that we would need as many as we do. I would say it's probably twice as much as what we originally thought. And we've only been working on this 2 months. We gave ourselves a deadline. It's Valentine's Day weekend. So, just random individuals, organizations that are supporting us have donated dresses. I have two people coming by my house today to drop off dresses and wire hangers. I have another person tomorrow coming to drop off. Because we're really at our deadline right now with these dresses. We need them so we can get them sewn. They're being sewn on hangers, and we have to get construction started this week. So
how many dresses total are there?
Well,
total,
what, 90?
Total needed or what we have?
So you're gathering one for each victim, essentially?
Mm-hmm. We're doing red dresses for the unsolved murders, and then we're doing black for the murdered. We also have, I believe it is 8 for the children, and then 24 for female domestic violence murder victims, which will be purple, and the missing will be pink, and we have 9 total victims.
Okay. So... Yeah, I mean, so can you tell me a little bit more about, so was Valentine's Day a deliberate date for this? Is there mm-hmm. a meaning behind why you picked that day?
Because Kayla Fannin last year was murdered by her ex, who had just was released from prison, she had gone to the police and showed the text messages. A lot of people probably remember this story. He told her to go and... file her complaint, and that was too late. By that time, he had already killed her. So that, and then as well as Denise Luthold, who was murdered a few years back by her husband on Valentine's Day in Mossville.
Yes. So, and this is not just City of Peoria; it's actually Peoria County. Then.
Correct. It's both city and county combined. In total, it's 89 individuals at this point in time. We do have other families reaching out at this time who have members that passed, unfortunately, prior to this date. So we do want to find a way to incorporate and honor them and honor their families' wishes in wanting to be included in this event and have their loved one remembered, because that's really what Susan and Kristen created, was this event based around not only celebrating who these women were in life for those of them who have passed and or are missing, but to bring about justice for them, because it's very important that although this may be somber in some aspects, for those who have had peace and are solved cases, we want them to be celebrated as individuals and remembered and not just seen as a statistic or what was put in the paper.
So can we talk a little bit about the event? It's going to be at Sous Chef, the 15th, I believe?
Yes.
Yeah.
15th at 1:30. So we'll have the display along the fence line of dresses. We'll have flyers there as well to give a bit of an explanation as far as the color coordination and what that symbolizes. We're really excited to see all of this effort and hard work come together, and I am so moved by the community outreach. It's really been amazing, from the contribution of the dresses to helping us with the display, whether that's attaching the dresses to the hangers, or eventually we're going to be mounting them onto temporary fencing to then mount onto the fence there. So it's really come full circle from something 2 months ago that started as a post on social media, from inspiration to now seeing it and talking about it becoming even a mobile display, if people would want that and people would support that. And so far it's been great feedback, because people feel that it's very much necessary when they hear the amount of women and girls that are a part of this. You know, they're so shocked, and they want to see that at the forefront in their community as far as it being known and being addressed.
I'd like to also add that we do have different organizations that will have booths there set up in the parking lot, and we will also have different speakers that day as well.
Could you give me a couple examples of the booths and the speakers?
Jolt, Crime Stoppers, Center for Prevention of Abuse. We also have the Illinois Violent Crimes Victim Reporting going to be there. PCAV.
So is your hope then that the whole community comes out and kind of sees this and talks about, you know, this issue?
Oh, of course. I mean, the event will be up for 2 weeks. So I think, you know, throughout that time, having it being an outdoor installation, the dresses are going to become soiled, probably tattered a little bit, and I think that'll be more impactful. I'm hoping that maybe someone out there will remember something, and they will maybe trigger even the slightest thing. Maybe that's something that they heard in the past. Maybe we can bring some closure, because right now we have a lot of cold cases, and the Peoria Police Department does not have a cold case department. So these women are just basically, the information is just put away in boxes, and that's it.
So you mentioned something about a mobile display. So is this something you would like to continue, either it's like an annual thing or even a continual moving exhibit?
So with that, we have talked about a lot of different ideas, and it's not really set in stone necessarily. We do want to see the turnout and receive feedback, and then see how we can mold and shape this idea to the community's liking and really allowing them to have maximum involvement. But an idea that has been talked about as far as if there's an area that's high crime, whether it relates specifically to women and or any other kind of crime in general, having this display there, because I think it shows a level of community accountability, and that the civilians are more than willing and able to do their part, and that we want everyone else outside of that to join in as well, because if that's what the people want, then ultimately that's what they should be receiving.
Is there anything else either of you would like to say about this event that we haven't already touched upon?
I think what really moved me the most is the visual impact of this display. It's uncovering so much for not only the local community, but those outside of it, because many of these people, when they lost a loved one, they did move away, because this does represent such a painful part of their family's history. And I think bringing a respectful tribute to that and honoring these women is really going to be something amazingly healing for a community. That's what we've seen across the board. It's just so much hurt, and it's unnecessary. And I think taking a stance that this cycle of pain doesn't have to continue is very important in changing the path for our community.
Absolutely. Darcy, Kristen, thank you so much for your time. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Yep.